dark of the midnight have I oft hidden my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Amid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more.
This is John Thrasher. You're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. Thanks for tuning in. Till the storm passes by. That's not a foreign language, is it? I think just about everybody tuned in to this broadcast right now, you know exactly what the storms of life are. All the disappointments, the unfairness, the temptations, the trials, the fiery darts of the devil. The storms of life. And we take great comfort in David's writings in Psalm 23. How many times have you read it? I'm quite sure that most every one of you know it by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. David said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, I thank God for the still waters. However, I think that is only one aspect in the life of a true saint, because I read in the writings of David in Psalm 69 where he presents another aspect. of our journey on earth as we're on our way to heaven of a true saint. And there he doesn't speak of still waters. He speaks of troubled waters. Now, that may sound like a paradox, but they're both true. Every true saint knows what the still waters are that God leads us beside, and every true saint knows very clearly what the troubled waters are. Well, I just read to you Psalm 23 about the still waters. Now let me read to you a portion of Psalm 69 from the pen of David, inspired of the Holy Spirit, to give to you and me understanding and enlightenment how to walk in a godly path, whether the water be still or whether they be troubled. He said, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Now, sometimes we make a mistake by preaching only one or the other of these aspects of Christian living, but they're both true. It's kind of like the operation of a battery. You know, it has two cables. One has to be fastened to the positive post, and the other has to be fastened to the negative, or it's not going to work, and it won't turn the engine on. There is the positive and the negative. Every true doctrine of God given to us in the Scripture also has a negative. And we make a mistake when we only focus on the positive or we only focus on the negative. We've got to preach both of them. In other words, the same book that talks to us about the love of God also talks to us about hell. And the same book that talks to us about the security of the believer in Christ also talks to us about being cautious and take heed lest any man fall. And those aren't contradictions. It's the positive and the negative. The same book that talks to us about the Lord's blessings and God meeting our every need and pouring into our lives His favor and His benefits and daily loads us with His benefits also talks to us about the suffering of the saints. And how is it that Peter could say to that lame man sitting by the gate beautiful in Jerusalem that day as he passed by and the man was asking for alms, and Peter looked at him and said, "Look on us." And the man looked at Peter and John, expecting to receive something of them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And the Lord healed him, and he raised him up, and he began to walk and run and jump. But Peter said, and he is one of those 12 apostles that was so near to the heart of Christ here on earth. And yet, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." Well, I thought that if you love Jesus and put Him first in your life and you pray and read your Bible and go to Sunday school and treat your neighbor nice, that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise all your life long. Well, that's only a partial truth. There's also another truth that is given to us where, like the Apostle Paul said, "I know what it is to be full, and I know what it is to be empty. I know how it is to be exalted. I know how it is to be abased." But he said, "In every state where I find myself, I have learned to be content." And so here in these two Psalms, there's no contradiction in the Word of God. Any contradiction is in our own minds because we don't have proper understanding of what it all means and what the Lord is trying to teach us and to show us. There are the still waters of Psalm 23, but my dear friend, there is also the troubled waters of Psalm 69. When the waters are still, we thank God for it. We say, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And we give thanks to the Lord for the still waters, for the prosperity, for the blessings, for the favor that he manifests to us and through us. And then when the way gets rough, and the storms come, and the water gets deep, and everything is troubled, then we cry to him, and we trust him, and we have faith in God. And we say with David, save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire. Lord, I've come into deep waters. They've gone over my head. Help me, Lord. And both of those things I'm saying to you right now are true. Let's read all the Bible from cover to cover. But know this, if you're walking beside the still water, the Good Shepherd is right there with you, leading you. If you're standing in deep, troubled water and the waves are going over your head, you know what? The Lord is right there with you. And he would say to you and me from the words of Isaiah, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Whatever day this may be in your life, and whatever this day the events may bring to you, just know that if you belong to Jesus and he belongs to you, the Lord is walking right there beside you and with you every step of the way. Even through the storm, he's walking with you.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the tall and
After this manner pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This was a model prayer that Jesus gave to us. He gave it to his disciples, the 12, who asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray, like John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And so Jesus said, pray like this. Well, I think we can pretty much understand most of this prayer and what Jesus is teaching us, what he is saying, and as we pray. But there's one phrase that took me a long time to really understand what Jesus meant. And that one phrase in the Lord's Prayer that says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I never knew what that meant. And lead us not into temptation. And finally, one day, it dawned on me that this was a prayer to be given from humility, not spiritual pride, not thinking, oh, I am such a tough, strong Christian. I mean, I've read the Bible through. I have preached thousands of sermons. If anyone can make it to heaven, surely I can. That's spiritual pride, and that's very dangerous and risky. And so we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. I don't think that I'm as strong as my foolish heart may want me to believe. I'll give you a good illustration of what I'm trying to say to you. Peter thought he was a tough saint. Do you remember that night in Gethsemane when Jesus said, all of you are going to be offended of me this night? All of you are going to leave me. Peter spoke up and said, not me, Lord. All the others may, but not me. You can count on me to the very death. I'm going to stay with you. I won't be offended. But he was. He couldn't even stand up before a little lady at the door where the trial was being held, who said, you're one of those Galileans. And he began to curse and to swear and say, no, I'm not. If anybody was strong, surely Peter was. But I tell you what, none of us in our own spiritual pride should ever become overconfident in what we think we can do and all the trials that we can overcome. In all humility, we'd better pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. I think, too, that's the meaning of Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, be very slow to criticize or condemn anybody else who falls by the wayside, because you don't know and I don't know how we would act and how we would behave if the same temptation that caused them to stumble happened to you or happened to me. So in all humility we pray in the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. I read in the Scripture where when God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, the Bible very clearly says that God led them not the shorter way to Canaan that led through the land of the Philistines, because he knew that they were not trained they were not mature enough for warfare, and that they would become disheartened and go back into Egypt when they came before the Philistines and they weren't ready for the battle. God took them the longer way around so that they wouldn't have to have that trial right then. And so we pray, Lord, I'm not as strong as my foolish heart would make me to believe. I am as susceptible as anybody else to the tricks of the devil and his fiery darts. Help me to be cautious. Help me to stay on my guard. Help me to take heed. Help me not to become overconfident in myself. And don't get me wrong, there is no way you can become overconfident in God or overconfident in his faithfulness and his promises. But there is a risk in our becoming overconfident in ourselves. As we look at how we pray, how we read our Bible, how we love Jesus, others may fall, but not me. Others may be offended, not me. Oh, yes, you too, and me too. If we don't keep our eyes open, if we don't walk close to the Lord, if we don't keep our eyes upon Jesus, we can stumble too. Lord, lead us not into temptation. I think what I'm trying to say to you is that every day of our life, no matter how long you have walked with God, no matter what kind of a devout Christian you are, every day of your life, you need Jesus. You can't make it by yourself. We sit a learner at Jesus' feet. As a little child, we put our hand in his and we say, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. I give myself to you. I'll never make it by myself, but with your help and grace, I will. Amen.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
I just want to pray for you right now. Let's just lift our eyes heavenward. Come into the very presence of a living Savior. You know, this isn't make-believe. This isn't some cunning device fable, Christianity. There is a God in heaven who cares and understands. A God who loves you. A God who loves me. A Savior whose heart is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's what the Bible says. Our High Priest, Jesus, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the presence of Jehovah, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, our great Savior, our wonderful Lord, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, you know where we are today. If we're walking beside still water, we thank you for it. Or if we're standing in troubled deep water, we trust you in the midst of our trial. I pray for my friends wherever they are listening to this broadcast, young and old. We're all different. We all have our own set of trials and circumstances, but we have the same God, the same Savior, who loves us and cares for his own and who leads us day by day, whether it be in the stillness or in the storm, you're with us. I pray for my friends. Touch them, Lord. Meet their every need. Lift them up. Put your arms around them. Give them that strength, that grace, that peace that they need. Not just to barely make it, but to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. So however he leads us, we're just going to trust him and let our hearts be filled with peace and joy, whatever the day brings.
Shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along.
Yes, he does. This is John Thrasher, and I've enjoyed being with you as we've shared together this time of morning devotions. But time is gone. Have a good day. May the Lord bless you abundantly.
God leads his dear children.